Well, our topic to start out this new quarter is entitled Devil, Sin, and Hell. And we are not talking about politics, okay? Just so that you know that it's not the subject matter. But we are going to be talking about some items that is on a lot of people's minds. You can probably talk to anybody and have a conversation with them about what they think about the devil, sin, and hell. And so I think that this is going to be an exciting study for us. It may be a tad bit disappointing for some people because the Bible doesn't tell us everything that we want to know about the devil, sin, and hell. Now, it does give us enough information so that we can know we don't want to be on the devil's side, we don't want to engage in sin, and we certainly don't want to go to hell. We got that much information. But to answer all of our questions, we are probably going to be somewhat disappointed if we think the Bible has a revelation of all of the answers or all of the answers to the questions that we have. It just doesn't. It doesn't in any area, let alone some of the eternal matters of the devil, sin, and hell. And so I think this is going to be a rather exciting study. All right. Now, as we were alluding to in the beginning, a discussion of eternal matters, it's not always attractive, but in the case of our topic of the devil, sin, and hell, it's certainly fascinating. And our world is eaten up. It is a very popular study in the world. You can go on the internet and type in and look up, just type in the devil or type in, well, you might not want to type in sin unless you have good restrictions on there, but the devil, sin, and hell, and hundreds of thousands of websites, maybe even into the millions of websites will pop up. Of a discussion of these items. I mean, this is a very popular go-to any kind of denominational website, and you'll find that they have conversations about this. You can talk to people that have absolutely no Bible knowledge at all in the world. You can talk to them at a restaurant, or maybe it's a friend of yours, you're having a conversation. Just ask somebody that you know in the next few weeks, ask them what they think, or maybe this, what questions would you have about the devil, sin, and hell? If you had an opportunity to ask God any question you wanted about the devil, sin, and hell, what would it be? You know, if you asked that question about a lot of topics, they probably wouldn't have much at all. But you start talking about the devil, sin, and hell, then you have a lot of individuals that are really fascinated. But listen, this is not something that's just new. Ancient volumes such as Dante's Inferno, Milton's Paradise Lost, and all of the pagan mythology that is associated with the devil, sin, and hell tells us that the ancients were as fascinated about things eternal. Things in the eternal realm might be even a better terminology here. Things that are in the unseen realm, you and I. They wanted to know the mysteries of the world just like you and I do today. And so there have always been a great interest into this. I don't know how many of you keep up with television programs, especially if you just maybe over the last 10 years looked at television programs. You would be amazed many of them. The entire program, the entire television program is devoted to the devil, sin, and hell. Well, there's a lot of them devoted to sin, but I mean, the whole concept of the devil and hell. A lot of movies focus in on even ancient views of hell and the Hadean realm and things such as this. So it has been, it is, and it probably always will be a fascination for to be able to talk about and to at least try to give some information about the Bible or about the devil, sin, and hell. But the Bible is the only true, genuine source of information about our topic today. It is the only one that tells the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You can trust that the Bible is going to give you everything that you need to know in order to defeat Satan, everything that you need to know to overcome sin, and everything that you need to know to stay out of hell. That's the purpose of the Bible, by the way, is that it does that. That's a part of the scheme of redemption. God's wonderful scheme is to tell us and inform us about our enemy, our adversary, the devil, right? As a roaring lion, he's pitching a snake. We'll talk about a lot of these things as our class goes on, but he's never pictured in a good light. His works, his nature, nothing about him is good at all. And so, by the way, just a few questions that I have heard over the years, I jotted down, and I'd like maybe for you to be thinking about some questions as well that maybe they're questions that you've heard that you would like answered, or there are questions that you have that you would like answered. And by the way, as we mentioned earlier, the answer may be, I don't know and the Bible doesn't tell us. But we probably ought to be prepared for that kind of answer. But where did the devil come from? Right? You've had people ask that question, or you've asked that and you looked in the Bible and said, okay, where did the devil come from? How about this one? Can the devil read minds? Can the devil read your mind? That's a question that's very popular, in the religious world today. Where does he live? Not only where he came from, his origin, but where does he live? Is the devil a fallen angel? Or is he an equal, evil, opposite of God? Some people, by the way, teach that the devil is an equal with God, that as you have good, then you must, by definition, they would say, that's not true, but they would say you have to have an equal evil that is out there, and that's the way that they look at at Satan. Can he take human form? Or can he take animal form? Of course, that probably has something to do with the fact that in the garden, right, and Revelation describes him as a dragon, an old serpent, the dragon, and things such as that. So, you know, that's certainly a question that is on people's minds. What does he look like? Well, we know what he looks like. He wears a red suit, right? He has horns and breathes fire, and he has this long red tail that comes, right? Well, people are fascinated with what angels look like, with what demons look like. They're fascinated with what God looks like. They're fascinated with things such as this. They want to try to picture that in their mind as far as what he looks like. And by the way, they always seem to get the angels. I don't know why, but even with reference to the demons and devils, they have a poor concept of what those are. Does he really think he can win? That's one of the questions I found in studying this, was that people were fascinated with why the devil would take up such an endeavor if he could win. When did he fall? That's another question that is oftentimes asked. Now, your questions. Questions that you have heard, or questions that you have in regards to the devil especially, but we're talking about devil, sin, and hell overall in this class. Okay, that's one of the things we're going to attempt, hopefully, early on. I say early on, we're 15 probably minutes into the class. We are going to discuss that in the first set of classes here today and Wednesday night, because I think that's, I think it's important to discuss. We may not have a particular scripture that says this is the origin of the devil, but I think that there are a series of scriptures that at least give us the ability to draw the right conclusion from that. And so I think that's a good point. And that goes to, okay, what was his origin? Is he a created being? Yes, sir. Anybody else? Yes. Okay, why do people, let me put this one down, why do people associate Lucifer with the devil? Okay. Jerome's translation, I believe, is the answer to that. But we're not going to get into the complexity of it, but that is a question that we have, that I think is a good question. Because a lot of people, when you ask them, what is the name of the devil? It's Lucifer, right? And so, why do people associate Lucifer with the devil? Is Lucifer the devil? And so forth. Alright? Okay. Is the devil active today? And by the way, we might add a question out to the side of that. How? Not how active is he, but how is he active today? Ah. Demon possession. By the way, if you do frequent the internet, you can type in demon possession and you can get some real good Hollywood quality videos. And so it's a question that people have. And by the way, wouldn't you want to know the answer to that? I mean, is it, you know, can the devil or a demon overtake me and control me? I mean, we read of that kind of stuff. By the way, what is a demon might be another question in association with that, because I fear that a lot of people, if they're getting their information from Hollywood, it's wrong about demons and demon possession. So I think that's an excellent question. Any others? Okay, you know, that's an interesting question. Maybe we could phrase it something like this. Did God cast out did he cast out the devil and all of his angels? Was he alone? That's a very good question. That's one that I would not have thought of, but I think it's definitely an answerable question according to the Bible. So, well, we'll check the Bible on those facts. I'll write that one down. You know, I like that one. Does he make deals with humans? With God, yeah. Talk with God, okay. In Job, okay. All right. Yeah. Very good questions. Any other questions? By the way, this is not the only time that you can ask a question about the devil, sin, and hell in class, by the way. But I thought it would be good at least to focus our minds, because we're gonna be studying what the Bible says, but it's good for us to be able to study the Bible from the vantage point of the questions that we have. One of the most valuable studies you will ever have is a study that is prompted not by the Bible class teacher. Listen, we're studying, Genesis. So go home and read Genesis 1 through 3 and study that. That can be very profitable. But I will tell you that you will dig deeper in Scripture when the question is yours rather than the Bible class teacher, oftentimes. And or questions that you have heard and that interest you. So hopefully these are some of the questions that will interest us over this course of study. All right. Well, let's talk about the origin of the Bible then, at this juncture. You know, again, Deuteronomy 29, 29 is probably a favorite verse. But it does let us know that the secret things belong to the Lord our God. The things that are revealed, they belong to us and to our children or to preceding generations or following generations. They belong to us and our children. But there are some things that God has reserved, which is His right, not to tell us about a lot of subjects. And so we're always going to have some questions. How many of you have heard or have said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to go and ask this question. When I get to heaven, I'd like to know this. Or, you know, I'm not saying it works necessarily that way, but I'm just saying we have said it or we have heard people say that that's a question I have. I've not been able to get it answered. I've not seen it answered in the Bible. So when I get there, I want that answer. There are some things that God, in the old covenant, and that's what where Deuteronomy 29, 29 is. But remember, the Old Testament was, a concealed covenant. It was not, the mystery revealed. It was the mystery. And so there were a lot of things to Moses and the generations that followed that were not revealed to them. Now, you and I, we have a lot more in Revelation. We have the mystery revealed, but does that mean that we have everything answered? Okay, there are some things that we'll there are some things we'll understand better in eternity than we do today. Maybe richer and deeper as well, rather than just better. That doesn't mean we can't know anything about the devil. It doesn't mean that we can't know a lot about the devil. Listen, you can't have 13 weeks, 26 classes on the devil, sin, and hell unless the Bible says something about it, right? Or else we're going to be talking about Milton and Dante quite a bit. But the fact is, the Bible has a great deal to say about it. But there are some things that would be restricted in that knowledge. And we can deduce some things. We can draw some conclusions based upon Scripture. For example, Clyde brought up earlier about whether or not the devil was a created being. The fact that he was a created being. Listen, you only have two options here. Either you are a created being or you are not. And we might maybe even more technically say, you are a contingent being or you are a non-contingent being. And by that, I mean that you and I were not directly created in the sense of Adam and Eve, as God directly created Adam out of the ground and Eve out of his rib. That's not how each individual person arrived here, but we are the result of creation, you see. We are contingent upon something or someone else outside of ourselves for our existence. God is the only non-contingent being. And by God, I refer to all three, the nature or the essence of God. I'm not talking about the Father. I'm talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in this case. Okay, when God said, let us make man in our own image, there is an implication there, a deduction that you and I can draw, right, that he is discussing something with another person of the Godhead. Now, I know that because we are not created in the image of angels. He's not talking to his angelic host. He is talking to someone who is of equal status in his nature and essence. And so we are created in the image of God. Now, someone turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 16. I do want to kind of narrow this down a little bit because the Apostle Paul clearly indicates here that God is the only uncreated, self-sufficient, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipotent, I don't know if I said that, omnipresent being that there is. He is the only one. And 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 16, somebody. What's the first two words? Who only. Underline that in your Bible. Highlight that. Who only. No one else possesses what God possesses. The devil then, one of the questions we had on here was, is the devil a created being or is he an equal evil of God? Is he the opposite of God, the opposite side of that coin? And the answer to that is no. No. At one time in eternity, almost said the universe, in one time in eternity, only good existed. There was a time in which only good without any moral evil existed. Now the possibility was there. You cannot have moral good without the possibility of moral evil. But you don't have to have moral evil to have moral good. You just have to have the possibility of it. In other words, if there is good, to divert from that is evil. So the possibility is there. By the way, we know it was there even before humanity was created because the Bible does talk about the fall of the devil and his angels. But that does not mean that they are eternal creatures in the sense of God. Immortal maybe, but not eternal. That is, they were not eternal in the sense of always existing and possessing the same nature of God, that God is omnipotent and omniscient and so forth, but they are immortal in the sense that once they were created, then they exist and they will exist. The devil and his angels, we are told, will be cast into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. There is an immortal nature about them, as well as you and I, we will spend eternity somewhere. We have not always been eternal creatures, right? But we will, from the time of our beginning, we will be immortal creatures. That is, we will continue to exist somewhere. But those are the only two possibilities that you have. Either you are created or you are not. Either you are a contingent being or you are a non-contingent being. Either you depend upon somebody or you don't. That is, by the way, the essence of what God told Abraham from the burning bush Moses is standing by this bush that is burning but yet not consumed. And he enters into a discussion about four excuses, really, but a discussion with this angel, and this angel of the Lord there has to be more than just a created angel. That's probably another discussion for another time. But this angel deserves to be worshipped. Therefore, it is concluded that this was a pre-incarnation appearance of Jesus Christ. And there are several of those throughout the Old Testament. But he is worshipped there. And you remember that one of the excuses that Moses says is, well, who do I tell them you are? And you remember his answer? I am. I am that I am. I exist because I exist. I am the only non-contingent being is what he's saying. I am the creator of the universe. I am the sustainer of the universe. I am the judge of the universe. I am that I am. I don't depend upon anything outside of myself for my existence. That's what I am means. It refers to his eternal existence. Go tell Israel that is the person who sent you. And so he is referring to that particular point. Someone turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 16. Here Jesus... by the way, you can go to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 and get the same discussion at the beginning of John's Gospel. But here, Paul identifies that Jesus is the creator of all things, including things such as principalities, dominions, powers, and things such as that. Somebody have that? 1:16. Okay, notice the category that this. Now, he is the creator. By him all things were created in heaven or on earth. Those are the only two possibilities you have, right? Satan has to fall within one of those two categories, right? He is a power. He is a dominion. He is a principality. I mean, represents all of those things. And yet at the same time, whether seen or unseen, heaven or earthly, it doesn't matter. Jesus is the means by which all things come into existence. And so from that vantage point, that implies, right, very clearly that Satan must be a created being rather than a not created being. If he was created, then he would possess all of the, if he was a non-created being, let's look at that. If he was a non-created being, then he would be equal with God. Now, if he is equal with God, then how is it that God has dominion over him? How is it that in the last day he will cast him into that lake that burns with fire and brimstone? No, there is not an equal when we talk about the devil and we talk about God. That is not an equal, something equivalent that is there. So was he created evil? There's a statement in Isaiah that I think a lot of people misunderstand when it says that when God says, I create evil. In the book of Jeremiah, which I have a class every Saturday on this book, there are several times where God says, I'm going to bring evil upon the city of Jerusalem. Now, there are times in which when the Bible uses the word evil, it refers to a moral evil. First, to the activity of God. By the way, by definition, God could not do something that was a moral evil, because morality is defined by who he is. It is defined by his nature. So everything that he does is by definition moral to begin with. So he's not talking about a moral evil there. He's not talking about I'm going to sin against you. Well, just insert the word, if you have the King James, I think the New King James, the ESV, I don't know about the American Standard of 1901, it might insert the word calamity. That's what he is referring to in these verses in the prophets, the major prophets, when he says, I create evil. I create calamity. Think about sometimes, when did God create calamity? Give me some examples of that. The flood, right? That was a big calamity, right? The whole world was consumed in water. That was a calamity. What else? Sodom and Gomorrah rained fire down, right? That's a calamity. Destroyed five cities. The plagues of Egypt. Calamity, right? Paul struck a man blind one time, did he not? That's a personal calamity, but by the way, if you've been struck blind, is that not a calamity? Certainly it is. There are times in which God's agents engage in evil, but it's not moral evil, it is calamity. We're just talking about something that, is a destructive item there. And so, God does not create evil. You think about all that the Bible says about evil. And all that the Bible says about God. Do you not come away? Have you ever heard anybody come away with the impression that evil and God are diametrically opposed to one another? I mean, have you ever come away with any other impression of that? Well, no. God is diametrically opposed to moral evil. And he is not the creator of it, nor did he create Satan as an evil being. In fact, all that God has created is good. So it is important that By the way, you think about this. The angels, I think it was Clyde, maybe somebody else that referenced the angels that sin. Somebody turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4, and somebody else look at Jude, verse number 6. It really deals with the same scenario. It might word it a little bit different or add some information one to the other, but somebody pick those up. 2 Peter 2, 4, and Jude, verse 6. When you have 2 Peter, go ahead and read that. Okay, what did the angels do in this particular scenario or in this verse? They sinned, right? They committed a transgression against the will of God. Now, what did God do with them when they sinned? What did God do in this verse? Okay, he cast them into a place that is reserved for them, right? In chain. Well, that may be, look at Jude. Who has Jude 6? Okay. Okay. Peter says they sinned. Jude tells us what the sin was, right? They did what? What did the angels do in Jude? They left their first estate or habitation, right? They, in other words, I think it is Milton who said, who has the devil saying, I may be incorrect on this, it's been a few years since I have entertained any of that information, but I think it is Milton who has the devil say, I would rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. Anybody a fan of Milton read it lately or, okay, well, I could say that you wouldn't know anyway, right? I think it is Milton. The last time I read that, I believe that's what it was. But if it's Dante, don't hold me to that, right? But I would rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. Now, Dante or Milton was not inspired in his writings, but he does have the whole concept, at least in that point, down when it comes to the devil and his angels. They left their first estate. They left their first habitation. They were not satisfied being servants of God. They wanted to rule. They wanted to rule themselves, and thus they left their own, their habitation. By the way, is that not the essence of man's sin? Did not Eve, when she was tempted of the devil, did not she seek to leave her first estate, her habitation? She was, by the way, you think about what the devil is telling Eve. Eve, if you eat of this fruit, this is the pride of life. We'll talk a little bit more about the similarities between Genesis 3, Matthew 4, and 1 John chapter 2, later on, maybe even, Wednesday night. But we'll talk a little bit more about that. But the devil offers her essence what John calls the pride of life. If you take this, you will be like God. Now think about her estate. She is in submission to God. But if she takes of this, the devil convinces her she's going to be like, equal with God. By the way, what does that do to the man in the scenario? Ah, now she is over her husband, right? You see the pride of life there? The devil and the angels and Eve and what Satan later would offer Jesus and offers us is in reality no different. Now, there's a quote by Brother Guy in Woods that I think really kind of summarizes some of this when he talks about the devil and his angels, there are certain things in relationship to this that always brings about other questions for me. Why is there no theme of redemption for the angels that fell? And there is for us, but there doesn't seem to be any in relationship to that. Now maybe that's something that we did not need to know, but when you look at Jude, when you look at 2 Peter, Here's the quote by Brother Woods. Angels are created beings, sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit eternal life, Hebrews 1:14. They're moral creatures and answerable to God for their conduct, though apparently outside the redemptive provisions of grace, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 16. Thus, when they sin, they were beyond the possibility of salvation. These, despite their rank, despite their honorable position they occupied, despite the holiness they possessed when created, sinned and were not spared. The following conclusion seems certain, he says. They were originally holy. They sinned. The occasion of their sin was the abandoning of their proper habitation, and as a result, they were thrust down to a place of bondage. So when we talk about the devil and devil, sin, and hell, we're going to also include those that, by the way, are subject to him, the devil and his angels. The origin, yes, sir. They were sent to the abode. There is a special place, even different than the abode of human beings. That's something that we are going to talk about when we talk about the end of the devil. And by the way, one of the questions that we had on here is, where is the devil? Right? And so we're definitely going to talk about that as well. Now let's talk about, let's see here. We have about 3 minutes. We'll not get through this part, so I'm going to jump. We'll come back to really the question Wednesday night. We'll deal with Lucifer. We'll deal with Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, and Revelation 12, and do those passages deal with the origin of the devil? We'll talk about that. But let's in the next couple of minutes talk about the names of the devil. What names, I have several listed here. What names, does the Bible give to the devil? Okay, he is called, there's actually a different spelling in the Old Testament than the New Testament. One is Beelzebub, one is Beelzebub, but it both means basically Lord of the Flies. One is the idea of the God of Ekron, or Lord of the House. That's one of them. Okay, he is referred to as the serpent, and in particular in Revelation, he is referred to as that old serpent, right? Specifically referring back to the Genesis 3 account. What else? I'm sorry? Okay, he is called the tempter. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 3, when he came to Jesus, he is referred to as the tempter. Okay, he is, by the way, I don't have that one down. He is the father. I have that one down for something else, but that he is called the father of lies, and that would be certainly a description of him, wouldn't it? Yes. Okay, he's called the evil one. That he's called the prince of this world, the god of this world as well, and we'll talk about how that is, what that means, and things such as that. What else? Okay, the boogeyman. Okay, okay. Yeah. You, by the way, you are absolutely correct. That one's not in the Bible. But listen, there are a lot of things that we probably call him. That anything else? Okay, he is definitely called the devil, right? We're talking about the devil's sin and hell. He is definitely referred to as the devil. What else? Okay, he is called Satan. Okay, he is referred to as the enemy in several passages. What else? Okay, that's exactly right. When he says to the Jews that were rejecting the work of Christ, he said, your father, the devil, is called the prince of darkness. He is referred to as the great dragon. Right? There's probably some others. I think I have checked off all the ones and added a couple of them to mind. Oh, there you go. I don't know why I didn't have that one down. Where is that? Is that 2 Corinthians 4 or he is called the prince I think it is the prince of the air. Is that Ephesians? But yes, he is. Let me get over there. All of these have some relationship. For example, when he's called the God of this world, the prince of, the titles of God and prince and ruler are all things that were not necessarily, something that he had by right, birthright, but it is something. Do we not, you really only have two choices. Either you're worshiping God or you're worshiping the devil. Either it's righteousness or it's, sinfulness. I mean, it's either or. Those are the only two options that you have. So from that vantage point, he is the God of this world. Does he not control and influence, the world itself? Certainly he does. And so from that vantage point, he is ruler. So, that is, 2 minutes over, maybe five, but that's okay. We'll, pick up there Wednesday night. The deceiver, we did not hit that. Let me add that one on.